Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the 14th Sunday after Trinity, obedience to God, by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. A Samaritan is the hero of this morning's gospel, just as a Samaritan was the hero of last Sunday's gospel. The points Jesus makes in both Gospels would still be there if the heroes were not Samaritans. But the fact that they are Samaritans gives each story some extra bite, because the people who were around Jesus hated Samaritans. Last week, Jesus held up a Samaritan as the perfect example of how to obey God's commandment to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. This week, out of 10 people who have received a miraculous physical healing, a Samaritan is the only one who bothers to thank God. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem from his home territory of Galilee in the northern part of Israel. As he goes into a village along the road, he sees 10 lepers. The Old Testament had quite a few rules and regulations to cover people who had skin diseases. One was that they were supposed to try not to contaminate other people. So St. Luke reports that the lepers stood afar off. From their position afar off, they yell over to Jesus and say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They are asking him to heal them. What Jesus does not say is almost as remarkable as what he does say. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." He does not say, "Be healed," or "Ephphatha," or even, "Your sins are forgiven." Telling them to show themselves to the priests is a test of their confidence in him. People with strange skin diseases were not allowed to worship with the rest of the community. When they thought they were over their illness, they had to get the priest to check them out and then readmit them officially. If they went to the priest before they were actually well, they would contaminate him, which would get them into further difficulty. So for them to head off to the priest just because Jesus said so showed their tremendous trust in his power to heal them. Their trust was rewarded, for, as St. Luke tells us, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. If the story ended here, it still would have made several very telling points. First of all, the story confirms the idea that Jesus can heal. He has given the same power to the church. We should be as confident when we ask for his healing power now as the lepers were then. Next, we see that Jesus works his miracle through their obedience. They ask him for healing. He tells them what they have to do. They do it. Then they get what they want. Too often we want God to perform miracles for us when we are not willing to obey him or do our part. We ask him to change the behavior of our family members and other difficult people without involving us in any messy confrontation. We ask for good health while we continue to abuse our bodies. We demand that he fish us out of financial predicaments when we refuse to tithe. The obedience of the lepers sets the proper example. But the story does not end with the lepers' obedience. One of the 10 lepers, who is on his way to the priests, sees that he has been healed. He turns back to Jesus, throws himself down at Jesus' feet, praises God and thanks Jesus for what he has done for him. Jesus, not passing up an opportunity for a bit of sarcasm, asks, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? The only one who has bothered to praise and thank God for what he did was this Samaritan of all people. Then he tells the Samaritan, get up and go about your business. Your faith has made you whole. Only a real cynic would imagine that when the 9 got to the priest of the leprosy, they had leprosy all over again because they weren't properly grateful. St. Luke tells us no such thing, of course. But Jesus is making a significant point about faith in what he says to the Samaritan. Christianity is all about establishing a relationship to God. That relationship is called faith. God is our Father. We have confidence and trust that he loves us and he always forgives us and that he is watching over us and that he is encouraging us and helping us to do the right thing and that he intends to take us to heaven in the end where we can see why the events in our lives unfolded as they did. But a relationship is a two-way street. God wants us to thank him for what happens in our lives. He wants us to thank him for the things we like. That way we don't forget where they came from, so we can ask again. And he wants us particularly to thank him for things we don't like. If we believe that everything that happens to us is something God either causes or allows, then we have to believe that everything, like it or not, fits into his overall plan and makes sense. So to thank God for whatever happens, especially something we don't like or don't understand, is not to deny what we really think, but instead to begin to say, I don't know what you are up to here, God, but I have faith that you are doing something that is ultimately good. So please show me and help me. The Samaritan liked what happened, but he still closed the loop by thanking God and Jesus. So he didn't go home thinking he deserved what happened to him. Instead, faith had made him whole. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.